Faith does not call attention to itself. Faith calls attention to grace. To the one who works, his wage is not reckoned according to grace. If you attempt to work for God, to get right with God, you nullify grace. And you reinsert boasting. But faith doesn't do that. Faith has eyes for grace and grace alone.
If faith does not look to itself for salvation, where does it look? In this episode of Light and Truth, John Piper turns to Romans 3:27-31 to show how faith only has eyes for grace. This sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on May 30th, 1999.
God forbid, Lord Jesus, that I or we should boast save in the cross of Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom the world was crucified to me and I to the world. This is our heart's cry as we come to this text about boasting, that you would put to death in us all that is proud and all that lifts itself up against the knowledge of God and the faith of Christ. So, Father, I plead with you to help me make this text plain, and I ask that you would open the heart of your people to receive the gospel, and that you would conform us to the image of Christ, and that we would become increasingly a humble people and a trusting people before you. Let's do a great work in our midst now, in these next moments as we sit under your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 28. For, he's asking the question, is it excluded by works? He says, no, it's excluded by a law of faith. And then he says, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Now, he's just asserting it there. He's not arguing. He's going to argue the entire chapter 4 that that is true from the Old Testament. But for here, he just asserts it. Justification. A person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So, burning issue is, what are works of the law precisely? What do you mean? Isn't it good to do works? Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. What you got against works? Well, what is wrong with works of the law here? What's wrong? Why should these be apart? Get rid of these things. Zwingli Luther was right when he translated this verse by adding the word alone. By faith alone. And if you've ever wondered where these big Reformation solas come from, sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. Sola fide comes from verse 28 of Romans 3. By faith apart from, that is, faith alone, apart from the performance of any act to put me right with God. Well, what is a work of law? Let's just trace the line of thinking through 29 to 30 and see if Paul sheds light on that question. Verse 29 is very strange. Let's make sure we see it in connection with verse 28. We maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Or did you have eggs for breakfast? He goes, Where in the world did that come from? Or is God the God of the Jews only? What's the logic here? Justification is by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Can anybody get that? There's an argument there in that rhetorical question. There's an argument there. I think it goes something like this. Well, let me read the rest of it. Is he not the God of the Gentiles also? Yes, of the Gentiles also. It seems like his mind is saying something like this. Justification, we know, is not by works of the law, but by faith alone. If it were by works of the law, namely the book of the Jews, by works that are tabulated for us in the book of the Jewish people, then they would be able to do them and get right with God, and the poor Gentiles wouldn't have that book, and they wouldn't be able to get right with God. And though it would appear like the division here would make God the God of the Jews, not the God of the Gentiles, one way of salvation here and no way of salvation here, and he says that's not the way God is. God is one, and he has one way of salvation for the Jews and for the Gentiles, and it is faith apart from the list in their book. I think it's confirmed in verse 30. Since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith, so now he's picking out one particular work of law, circumcision. That's the most characteristic distinction between Jew and Gentile. Now perform that and you'll get right with God. Perform that. Yes, faith is okay, but be sure you do this or you won't be right with God. And he says, since indeed God, who will justify the circumcised by faith, in other words, not by that work of law, and the uncircumcised, so they don't have the message that you're supposed to do this, they will be justified by faith. So in other words, the flow of thought here from 28, a man is justified not by works of the law or by faith apart from works of the law, because God is the God of the Jews and the Gentiles, and there's one way of salvation, and that one way of salvation is faith, not the performance of deeds contained in anybody's book. And therefore, it is apart from those lists that we get right with God. So what's my definition of a work of law? What is he up against here that he wants to make sure we don't contaminate ourselves with? What is it that always undergirds boasting instead of eliminating boasting? And here's the way I would put it. A work of law in this context is anything prescribed by the law that you do to get right with God. Or to use the theological word, to get justified. Anything you do apart from faith, or let's say it more carefully, anything you do other than faith to get right with God supports boasting. And only faith apart from works eliminates boasting. And that's why faith is so utterly crucial here. One last question. Why is that? Why is it that work supports boasting and faith excludes boasting? What is it about these two? What's about the nature of these things that cuts the legs out from under boasting on the one hand and puts legs under boasting on the other hand? And I think the answer is in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, where Paul gets down to the nitty-gritty of analyzing what he means by a work of law in this context. Here's what he says, verse 4 of chapter 4. Now to the one who works, So he's trying to analyze what's going on here when you take the Old Testament, pick out a prescription, and perform it in order to get right with God. What's going on there? Here's what's going on. Now, to the one who works, his wage is not credited according to grace. This is a literal translation. Your version may say is not reckoned according to favor or something like that. Same thing. But literally it is not credited according to grace, but according to debt or what you are due. That's why it undergirds boasting. You see what happens? What you're saying is, if you take a work of law from the Old Testament, say, don't commit adultery, or don't steal, don't lie, don't kill, worship God by going to church on Sunday, read your Bible, pray. If you take any one of those good deeds and now do it to get justified, to get right with God, alongside of or instead of faith, you do not exclude boasting, because verse 4 says, it is like working for a wage. And when you get a wage, that is, if God were to justify you, it wouldn't exclude boasting. And God means to exclude boasting. God means to exclude boasting, which is why works have to go as a means of justification. The alternative is given in verse 5. What should you do then to get justified? Wow, if I'm not supposed to perform any of the lists in the Bible, what are you supposed to do to get right with God, to solve this massive problem of pride and corruption and sin and alienation? And the answer is, but to the one who does not work. That's your first negative requirement. Cease striving. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. You can't make yourself godly and impressive to God to get justified. Justification has to precede your getting fixed. You will never get fixed if you are not first justified. But to the one who does not work, but believes him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So now I think we can explain why faith gets rid of boasting and works doesn't. I put it like this. Works calls attention to what I do and my quality in doing it that God should recognize and respond to appropriately. And if I choose to get connected with God's finished work of salvation that way, I am damned forever. And I will boast all the way to hell in my goodness. But faith does not call attention to itself. Faith calls attention to grace. To the one who works, his wage is not reckoned according to grace. If you attempt to work for God, to get right with God, you nullify grace. And you reinsert boasting. But faith doesn't do that. Faith has eyes for grace and grace alone. Somebody asked after the first service. I knew they would. But I chose not to answer the question, but I'm going to answer it here. Because two people asked it, and now I'm persuaded I probably should have answered it. Why can't I boast in my faith? There are two answers to that. They're not in my sermon. They are blazoned in my mind. Answer number one. I think this is in the text. It belongs to the nature of faith that it does not look at itself, but at grace. So that the very moment that you step outside of your believing heart and turn around and begin to look at your believing heart and feel good about your believing heart and that you have performed this believing heart, it's no more faith. Faith does not do that. Faith steadfastly will not look at itself and feel good about itself as though it performed itself. It will not do that. Faith looks only to grace. That's the meaning of faith. It's the definition of faith. It's the essence of faith, that it reaches out and loves grace, receives grace. That's answer number one. Answer number two is not in this text, but is in other texts, like Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Namely, you can't boast in your faith because your faith is a gift of God. We are Calvinists. The name means nothing to us. The reality that my faith is a gift means the world to me. And it is the last removal of boasting. I'm a Calvinist because I want a theology that removes all grounds of human boasting. And the last removal is the sovereignty of God in the free and unconditional giving of faith to whom He pleases. Now, let me close with this exhortation. God is at work in this room right now. Did you know that? God is here, and He's not just stocking heads with thoughts. He's opening you to vistas of enjoyment of His grace that some of you have never tasted before. A panorama of free grace in which you can swim like a dolphin in the ocean without ever getting to the bottom of it or the end of it. And I would plead with you, renounce all self-reliance. Renounce all self-exaltation. Renounce all self-admiration. Renounce, yes, all self-determination. Just renounce it right now. And say, God, if You leave me to myself to either perform deeds or do faith, I'm a goner because I'm proud to the core. I'm corrupt to the bottom of my being. I hate authority. I hate dependence. I hate childlikeness. I want to be somebody. And I don't like You telling me how to be or what to be. And if You leave me, I'll die and perish. So come. And right now, grant me to believe. Like it says in Philippians 1, 29, it is granted to us not only to suffer, but to believe. It is granted to us, given to us. The underlying principle here is 1 Corinthians 4, 7. What do you have that you did not receive, believer? And if you received it, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? Nothing. You have nothing that is not a gift. So, receive it. Receive it. Don't look at yourself. Look at grace. Look at grace. Let's pray. O God, work, I pray, mightily to save sinners in this service. Some perhaps who've been in church their whole life and have never understood the gospel, have never understood how to get right with a holy God as a proud sinner. By faith alone, apart from works of the law. Would you shed light on our hearts right now and cause us to see the glory of Christ in the gospel, who upheld your glory, absorbed our condemnation, paid our ransom, vindicated your righteousness all before we were ever on the scene, and now we are brought into it through justification by faith alone, apart from works of the law. O God, perform for us now the application of our redemption, just as you performed for us the accomplishment of our redemption. And save sinners in this room through faith.
This is Light and Truth, God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure Him truly. I'm your host, Dan Gruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper continues our 15-part series on God's remedy for the unrighteous with a sermon titled, The Freedom of Justification. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.